Lord, as we look into your word today and unite our hearts to and open our ears that we might hear what is the Spirit saying. As Jesus said, you have ears to hear, let them hear, the Spirit says. So Lord, let us hear what the Spirit is saying, each one of us today, God. Your kingdom come, may your will be done in each one of us, in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. That your name would be praised and glorified, Father, wherever we go. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We've been talking about the Spirit for a couple of weeks here, and talk a little bit more about him today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. When this Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, before he had told them, tarry in Jerusalem to be endued from power from on high. They're not going to be able to do anything that he wants them to do or to be unless they have this fullness of the Spirit. I remember what Al Clacom had said. At one time he was here, and you know, there was 500 he appeared to before he left, and there was 120 up in the upper room. It wasn't because of the size of the room; they weren't there. They just were doing something else. And maybe some of them went out to do whatever they thought they needed to do, but Jesus had specifically given them orders: wait. Wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So we need to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But the Spirit is given to us. Again, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Again, this power is dunamos, and it's not. It means like we get our word dynamite out of it, and it's power. I mean, it's raw power. But it's, you shall receive power. Now, this power, again, is to perform miracles, but it also is moral power and excellence. It's ability to be morally what God has called and chosen you to be. Again, without him, we can do nothing. It isn't just knowing what's right and what's wrong, but also having the ability to do it. And God is the one that does that in us. It's God that's working in you and I, both to will and to do it. You know, like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who's going to help me? Who's going to save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's through the power of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit's given to us for. But we've got to yield to the Spirit. You've got to yield to that Spirit. When in Revelations, when Jesus gave the letters to send out, to John, to send out to the churches, he said, you know, they all ended with, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Always looked at that like, pay attention. When you hear it, now pay attention. And it might mean a little bit of that, but there's more there. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said, what did he say? Let there be what? Light. Light, and there was light. Take up your bed and walk. Go and sin no more. And Peter and John, you know, rise up, get up, it isn't just, they're not talking to the flesh, because the flesh can't do that. Men, go and sin no more. So how many have never sinned since you got saved? Don't lie, or that's a sin. We've all sinned, haven't we? And how could he tell that guy, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you? Well, how could he tell a guy that's never walked for 38 years, get up, take up your bed and walk? Because he's God, amen? He's Jesus Christ. And so God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So, let there be light. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Take up your bed and walk. Rise up and walk. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let not your heart be troubled. He isn't just telling them something not to do. In the Word is the ability to do it. His Word is a living Word, quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God. So when he called you and I out of the darkness, he just didn't say, when he called you, you came because he called you. Just like, get up, take up your bed and walk. He called you. And you responded. Nobody comes into the Father except the Spirit. Draw him. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be, let it be healed. I want it to be healed. Let it be healed. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When God speaks that to you, he's offering it to you. He's not telling you to do something you can do in the flesh, because you can't do it in the flesh. Amen? But if you're listening, you know, he that hath ears, let him hear. It's a command. He's speaking it, and if we receive it with meekness, it happens. Amen? Amen? Come on. Yes. He spoke the world into existence. So when we pray, God showed me this a while back, when I was praying, you know, that Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. I'm not just praying it to God to do something. I'm praying it into the air. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And then he would show me, but I pray for people, and sometimes when I'm praying that prayer, I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in their spirit, in their soul, and in their body. I'm asking, but I'm also, one of the definitions of the word ask is to require it. I'm speaking it. And if I'm being moved by the Spirit to pray it, it's no longer I that's praying it. It's Christ in me. So we receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. We'll be witnesses. Witnesses of God. Our life will be a witness. The whole thing. Not just words out of our mouth, but with the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Amen? It's God, again. It's God that's working in you. It's God that's working in me. My part is to believe it. You believe in God? Believe also in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. And if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going back to the Father. But again, the ability isn't me. The ability is in me. The ability is in you. And it's as I'm led of the Spirit of God. I've got to be directed and be under the direction, the authority of the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's not like, well, I can do whatever I want to do. It's like I had some young people told us from our family one time, well, the Bible says, because they grew up in church, they knew what the Bible said, you know, that we're not under the law, we're in liberty. We have liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Yeah, but it's not liberty to do what you want to do. It's freedom to do what He wants you to do. Amen? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Amen? One wife is enough. I thank God for my wife now. Don't get the wrong thing here. Praise God. It's 49 years. Praise the Lord. It's not getting worse. It's getting better. We had some rough spots there. Praise God. He's working it out. Okay, let's go to 2. And now, chapter 2, verse 38-39. Well, I'll start 37. Now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, special messengers, brethren, what shall we do? What do we do about the condition we're in? Then Peter answered them, repent, change your views, your purpose, to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. Now this, you couple this with James, when in the first chapter, where he says you receive with meekness the engrafted word, because it's able to save your soul. Again, it isn't me looking at the word of God and then doing it myself, but it's me receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, deliver, set free my soul. That word save, sozo, is to be made whole. Spirit, soul, body. But in order to have the faith to do it, I've got to see, faith comes by hearing His word. So today, if you will hear His voice, and what? Harden not your heart. Well, then you're going to have the faith you need to meet what's coming tomorrow or the next day or maybe what you're in right now. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Yeah. And He's the Word, the living Word, not the letter of the law. Be a letter of the Spirit, not of the letter, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's a big difference in the spirit realm. It's not a big difference in our mind, but it's a big difference in the spirit realm. Peter answered, change your views, change your thinking, that kind of repentance, and purpose to accept with purpose. Be ready to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. That's the word of God. Because see, God promises in Hebrews, you know, two times He puts it in there, and the new covenant is that He'd write His laws on our heart and He'd put them in our mind. When He does this, then what He said in the Old Testament about putting these things on their hands and on between their eyes and writing it on their doorposts and on the gateposts, trying to keep the Word of God ever before them, God did a miracle here, because what He does is He writes it on your heart. If I receive it with meekness, that's good ground. See, that's good ground. It receives a seed. And you know what? That seed will grow, especially if it's watered. It'll continue to grow in me. And that seed is it's guaranteed seed. It's certified seed. It will bring forth fruit. Amen? All I got to do is receive it with meekness. The word of God, one of the words it uses here is not my word, it's their word, is inherent power. There's power in it. There's power in the seed. You take a seed, you stick it in the ground, pretty soon, you know, when it gets warm, it's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to grow, and then it's going to bring forth fruit. Well, that's the way the word of God is. So what you've heard 2 years ago, what you've heard 5 years ago, what you've heard 10 years ago, how long you've been saved, or that stuff's still in you, And God, as you continue to water it and everything, it's going to continue to grow. And it's going to be connected with something else. It's connected with something else, with something else. And he's also building. He's also got a fruit. He's also got a vegetable garden. But he's also got a fruit garden. And he's also building a house. He's building a dwelling place for himself. In you. In me. In us. And so, as we come together and as we continue to grow in God, we get closer and closer to God, then you and I are ministered by one another just coming together in this place. And God does this magic, if you were to say magic, is miraculous stuff. And we go out of here changed, different than when we came in. Amen? Amen? So, it's the Spirit of God in you. It's the Spirit of God in me. It's God in us, the hope of Jesus in us, right? The hope of glory. And Paul said again, Paul said, travail and birth till Christ be formed you. I'm praying for you. And so we have to pray one for another. Because as you grow spiritually, I grow too. And as I grow, you grow. We are growing together. And the Spirit of God makes us one. And we saw what happened, you know, in Acts chapter 2 when they were all together in one accord in one place and they're praying and the Spirit fell. But in Acts chapter 4 also, when they're threatened, you know, we saw that the other week, when they were threatened, don't you preach anymore in that name. Don't do many miracles anymore in that name. They wanted Jesus to be magnified. That spirit of the world is still the same. It doesn't want Jesus. I read somewhere, somebody somewhere, she mentioned Jesus' name and they all went, yeah, everybody can't do that, separation of church and state. You can't separate from God. The only thing you end up with is the devil, right? Right? The world's trying to get away from God. We should be trying to get closer and closer to God. Amen? And it rubs off. It rubs off. I'm not saying that someday somebody's going to walk up to you and say, you need to put a veil on your face. No, you're shining. You're shining. That's not me. It's the glory that's in me. Amen? It's the glory that's in you. Amen? Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. It's that flesh part of me that's the problem. But he's got an answer for that. Then it's the Spirit of God. Amen? So he's telling these people, they're sinners. They're convicted. What shall we do? What do we need to do? And Peter answered, repent. Change your views, your purpose, to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the reason he said it was because for the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children and to and for all that are far off, even to and for as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. Or in other words, whoever he calls. Amen? Amen. Praise God. For the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's why they wrote the King James Version, so I could quote it. I could never quote anything like that. That's why I had to read it like I was a pad. The promise. It's a promise. Not only for us, but it's for our children. Not only for our children, but for their children. And not only for their children, but as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a free gift. Amen? It's a free gift. And we need it. We're going to see that. It isn't something that we can do without. It's something that we've got to have. And not only do we have to have him, not it, have to have him, but we need to be filled. We need to be filled. Because if we're not filled, we're going to be filled. The rest of the jar is going to be filled with something. And that's where the battle is. The flesh lusting against the spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do the things that you would. Amen? And so that's why when you get in to reading and you get into prayer or even, you know, singing and worship, and I'm going to say even, but I mean, I'm not putting it lower. I'm just saying worshiping and praising God. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Why? Because God dwells in the praises of His people. Amen?
Yeah.
It isn't just in a building. It isn't just when you're, you know, in you're in your devotion at home. It's wherever you go. If there's a song in your heart, He's there. He dwells in the praises of His people. And you got something to praise God with. You got His Spirit. John 4, 14. One night we were here in a prayer meeting. We were worshiping. And, oh man, the Spirit was really here. Just, and I just was feeling really. And this guy was standing over here like this. And we're all like this, you know. And, you know, you got your eyes closed and everything. And I got this feeling. Just the overwhelming feeling. And I went over to the guy and just hit his hand like that. You know, like give him five. He goes, ah! He says, I was playing basketball. And he says, I sprained my wrist. And he says, it was hurting like crazy. He said, you touched me and it's gone. No, I didn't touch him. Well, I physically touched him. But he touched him, amen? I was in the Spirit. You know, in Revelations where it says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, there was a translation, and I can't find it now, but years ago, I remember I read this. He became in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And so when we're worshiping God, that's one of the goals of worship. You know, worship is to get into the Spirit. You know, God didn't tell me. I mean, I didn't hear a voice. I just felt like doing it. You know what I mean? I just felt like doing it. And finally, I got to the place I couldn't. I had to do it, you know? And I thought, at first, I hurt the guy because he just died. And then some other woman one time, she was here. I probably shared this too, but it'll fit in here. She starts prophesying and she speaking in tongues. But she went to a church that they didn't believe in that. So she got finished speaking in tongues, and she sat down, and she said, that's of the devil. It's not right. It's not. It's of the devil. But she was so, the Spirit was so thick that it caused her to do it. Remember when Saul was chasing David, and he ran into the prophets, and he started prophesying? That Spirit is strong. Amen? It can cause people to do things they wouldn't normally do. Amen? Okay, 4:14. Well, I'll go. You know, it's a woman at the well. August 13. Jesus answered her, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him unto and into and for eternal life. Wow! Boy, if you drink of this water, this is what it's going to do for you. This is what it's going to do for you. Well, chapter 7, verse 37. And remember, Jesus said, you know, if you drink of the water that I would give you, it would be, in King James, a well of water spring up unto eternal life, as the Son of Man would give to you. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood, and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to, who trusts in, and relies on me, as the Scripture has said, From his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, and had faith in him were afterward to receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, has not yet glorified, raised to honor. But in them, intermixed, out of your innermost being would flow this river of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. So you that are thirsty, come and drink. And Jesus said to the, if you drink of the water that I shall give you, it be in you a well of water, become a well of water, spring up unto eternal life. And this is the way that the Spirit works. It's put it in a vessel that cannot contain it. So we say we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? Filled to overflowing. It just comes out. It just oozes out of us, amen? That's being led of the Spirit of God. But when I'm in the flesh and I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, I can say the same thing. I can do the same thing in the flesh, with my hands or whatever. It doesn't do it. It's what's coming out from inside of here. It's what's coming from the Spirit. He's put the treasure in an earthen vessel. You're the earthen vessel. I'm the earthen vessel. But he is the excellency thereof. Amen? He is the treasure that's in the dirt. He is the treasure. And he pays all that money to buy that field, to get that treasure, that one diamond or that one gold. That's you. It's in me. It's in you. It's a treasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit that was there in creation, it's in you. He's in me. He's in you. And God's put him there so that he give us the will and the ability to do what he wants us to do. Amen? I just felt like slapping. I wasn't thinking of healing or wasn't thinking of anything. I just did what he told me to, what I felt to do. And he did it. Amen? He did it. I didn't even know what I was doing. Greater is he that is in us. Greater is he. And the Spirit is given to us for this reason. It's beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. But it's according to his power that's working in us. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3:3. Well, I'm going to start at verse 2 because that explains a little bit. Look out for those dogs, those Judaizers, those legalists. Look out for those mischievous makers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and by the Spirit of God, who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh or on outward privileges, physical advantage, external appearances. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well, right? For the Lord, for God seeketh such to worship him, they that worship him in spirit and in truth. I can't do that without the Spirit, amen? And guess what? That Spirit is the Spirit of truth, amen? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. And the truth is what makes people free. Amen? And they need to know the truth. You read there in Psalms, stop the mouth of the liars. The mouth of the liars will be stopped. Satan is a liar and he's the father of liars. Amen? There's a lot of lying going on. There's a whole lot of lying going on. There's a lot of sinning going on. But he that is in you, he that is in me, he that's called and chosen us to be his children, has called and chosen us to do warfare with the enemy. And we need that same spirit like Joshua and Caleb. We are well able to go up and take the country and take the inheritance that God has for each one of us. Each tribe of Israel had an inheritance. It was different than the other one, but they each had an inheritance. But they fought together so that they each could live and dwell in their inheritance. Amen? So that's why God has put us together. He could do it singly. I mean, he could do it singly for each one of us. But we are all part of the body of Christ. And this church is part of the church, you know, the body of Christ in the whole world. We're not separate from that. But God has placed us together. And so we are to say the same thing. We are to be in line with the Holy, what the Spirit is telling us to do. We're going in the same direction. And so as we receive from the Spirit with meekness, the engrafted word, the Spirit brings us into a unity. It brings us, they're all in one accord, in one place, in one accord. That wasn't because they were special people. It was because God did it through His Spirit. Amen? And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. Go to Philippians chapter 2. We're in Philippians. This is a familiar thing that we've been talking, God's been talking to us about. And they amplified, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It's God that's working in you. It's God that's working in me. Not just, you know, this really brings it out. It amplifies, you know, it gives us the power and the desire. It's God working in us and through us. Amen? How God anointed Jesus in Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Amen? And it says in John 14 that He wants to be with me. He wants to be with you. God the Father will come. Him and He says, my Father and I will come and will dwell with you. Amen? And I'll give you my Spirit. I'll give you the Spirit. And the Spirit then will, you know, your comforter, your energizer, your teacher. He'll lead you, guide you into all truth. In John 16, He won't speak of Himself, but whatever He hears, that shall He speak. All I got to do is follow. I got to follow Him. That's all I got to do. But that's hard because I got something. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Isn't that neat, Timothy? They named a couple books after you. Like 1, 2. Are you 3? Maybe you're 3. Hey, who knows what God's going to use you to do? Okay, 2 Timothy 3, 5. I started reading this, the chapter, and it's like, oh my goodness, these people are really bad. Sounds like things are the way they are today. Okay, 5. For although they hold a form of piety, of true religion, they deny, they reject, and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Now, to deny means not to accept, to reject. Now, this is the clincher. To refuse something offered. To refuse something offered. So God's offering it to us. And so these people are denying that. They're not accepting it. They're not receiving it. In one way, they're trying to establish their own righteousness, like the Jews were. They're trying to establish their own and not submitting themselves to the righteousness that God gives. They're trying to do it themselves. And they're not accepting the power thereof. They're denying the power. That it's okay, we'll keep this rule and that rule and this rule and this. But not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He does the will of my Father which is in heaven. If Jesus is my Lord, then I got to do what he tells me to do. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's really simple. But the only thing is, but the only trouble is, to do that, my flesh has got to die. Because my fleshly thoughts are not his thoughts. And my fleshly ways are not his ways. So somebody has to change. And I remember a very prominent evangelist said, he doesn't change. They tried, and he doesn't change his mind. I got to change. You got to change. Where I'm not lining up, right? But he's able to do that. He's able to help me to do that. But there is this. There is this denying the power thereof. Now the power, again, we said this before. That means the definition is to the power, like dunamos, to perform miracles. Yeah. But it's also the moral power and excellence. I mean, it's like you hate sin like God hates sin. That's his divine nature. Amen? Amen? And how do we get his divine nature? Through his exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? Yeah. And Peter. And we, by faith, we are holding on to these things. It's through his Spirit, though. If by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. You're going to live. You're going to have an abundant life. His life. Amen? The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through our flesh, God sending his own Son, like the sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because the Spirit's greater than my flesh. Amen? Amen? So just be filled with the Spirit. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. You got to be in. You got to be on top of your game. You got to be in it, because you can't be slothful. You can't be asleep spiritually and think you're going to automatically be there. You got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking. Let's go to James, and we'll probably finish it off there. Okay, in the beginning here of 4, and a little bit after 3 too, it's talking about these people are. They're not in the right spirit. They're trying to do what's right, but they're trying to do it in the flesh, and they're fighting and they're warring and they're striving to obtain, yet they have not, because they don't ask God. They don't ask. That's what, you know, if you being able to know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask. We're going to keep asking? Yeah, you got to keep being filled, because we saw that. You know, they were filled in the upper room, and then in the 4th chapter of Acts, they prayed again, and they were filled again, because walking through the world, it leaks out. If you want to use that terminology, it just, your battery goes down. You got to get it recharged. And he's the source, amen? You get plugged in every once in a while. That's doing the church should do to us. We got to walk out of here recharged, amen? Just by being with those of like precious faith. Because out there, there's people, things drawing on you. They're drawing on your power. And so you got to get in the presence. Jesus had to continually get in the presence of his Father. He spent a lot of time in prayer. Sometimes all night. He wasn't trying to be righteous. It was necessary for him. It's necessary for me. He's getting us there. But whatever we do, we're going to do it in the power of his Spirit. Amen? Whatever he asks us to do, we can do it in the power of his Spirit. And then he gets the glory. Amen? We don't get the glory. We don't put our rotor out of by patting ourselves on the back. Okay, we got these evil tendencies, and he's telling them about it. 4, you are like unfaithful wives, have illicit love affairs with the world, breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose? That says, the spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us. He yearns for the spirit to be welcome. He's jealous. He wants to be welcome. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome, amen? Have your way with me today. Oh, help me today. You know, acknowledging him all the day that he's with me and that I'm acknowledged. What should I do here, Spirit? What should I do? You know, just don't ignore him. The Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us. He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome as it in it. With a jealous love. But he gives us more and more grace. Grace. He gives us more and more grace. That is the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency in all others. He's greater than anything the devil can throw at you. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Not through the flesh, but through the Spirit. Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what God said. He doesn't lie. And he's not trusting on you. He's believing in his Holy Spirit is able to keep you from falling. Amen? Mm-hmm. Who kept Jesus from falling? Did he come in the flesh? Yes. I think that's the only way he could be tempted. Because he was in the flesh, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But the Spirit, he gives more and more grace, ability to meet this evil tendency in all others. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but he gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So if we couple this with the first chapter, and it says, again, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. He writes, when you receive it with meekness, he writes it on your heart. And then that word's in there, and it starts to work in you. And the word cleanses you. The word starts to operate from the inside out. Isn't that a coincidence? I didn't know I was going to say that. Praise God. I'm smarter in the spirit than I am in the flesh. You can all agree with that. That's not a put down on me. That's reality. He's greater, amen? So, if we submit ourselves to God, then be subject to God, then resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he'll flee from you. But if you try to do it in the flesh, he's not going to flee. You got to be in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit. He believes in God, and he trembles, amen? And he trembles at that name. When you're in the Spirit, but when you're the seven sons of Sceva, he isn't trembling. That is the Spirit, the evil spirit. He jumps on the guys, right? But when you and I are in the Spirit, Satan's no match for us. Because of the Spirit of God, we're in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He heard Jesus speak. He heard him. He saw him. Wow. You can be confident of this very thing. Amen? He that begun a good work in you is going to perform it, perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? All I got to do is cooperate. Stay on the horses and let him cut and chisel and drill me and sand me. Get me in order. He's going to empower you to fulfill the call wherewith he has called you and chosen you. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Well, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, then believe in the Spirit that he has placed within you. Because you and I were born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. We've been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the Spirit, or you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. But praise God, we've been born of the Spirit. So if you live in the Spirit, then also walk in the Spirit. Galatians. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. Oh God, I just sense, God, that it's we're on the surface. But we're going to go deeper. You're going to get us there where we need to be. It's like in the prophecy, so that your name would be magnified in glory. You are a great God. There's nothing impossible with you. And people out there don't believe you even exist. They don't think some people think it's a joke. But you're real. And you're alive today. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that you did through Jesus Christ, you want to do through us, your body. So that you will be glorified. You hardened Pharaoh's heart just so the rest of the world would hear in what you did to Pharaoh. What you did, not what Moses did, but what you did through them. And that went throughout all the world. I mean, they had people telling them, we knew what your God did for you in Egypt and bring you out of Egypt and conquering, you know, overcoming Pharaoh. It's somehow you spread it throughout the whole place. And even what God was telling Moses and Moses told the people, somehow it got to the people around them. They knew that Moses was telling the people what you said to him. We want to be witnesses. We want to be witnesses. Not just telling stories what you had done in the past. That's good. They're good things. But to reveal you, for you to be revealed in us and through us, through our actions, through our voice, through the works that follow them that believe in you. We're not seeking just the works. We're not seeking just the gifts. We're not seeking just this thing or that thing. Help us to focus our eyes on you. We're seeking you. We're seeking to walk with you, to talk with you, hear your voice, and to be obedient. God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for starting that work in us, and you promised to finish it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,